Excellent Podcast. I'm Andrew McGregor, and with each installation of this podcast, we're going to explore the world of spirituality, what it means to be alive, and how is it that we can bring our spiritual selves, tarot, meditation, religious or spiritual practices, into our daily lives. Please check out all of our episodes at thehermitslamp.com/podcasts, or you can search The Hermit's Lamp in podcasts on iTunes and download them all directly that way. So while I've got you here listening to this podcast, I want to mention a new project that I am rolling out. Can you imagine working with a tarot that reflected you in your life? Can you imagine working with a deck where all of the imagery was tied to your specific experiences, imagery, and history? Can you imagine going through a six-month journey of working with each of the cards and being guided through a process to help reveal both their nature and your relationship to them? Well, if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, then I invite you to check out my new project called A Tarot of Yourself, and it can be found at thehermitslamp.com/tarotofyou. The first round of this project is going to start in September. However, at any point, you can jump in and start your own journey with this process. So do go and check it out, thehermitslamp.com/tarotofyou, all one word. So welcome to the next installment of the Hermit's Lamp podcast. This week, I am hanging out with James Wanless, who is the creator of the Voyager Tarot and all sorts of other wonderful stuff, and also a Voyager and a Globetrotter himself. So for anyone who might not know who you are, James, why don't you give me the quick rundown on what you've been up to for this last while that you've been into tarot?
Oh, Andrew, thank you very much. This is a fun show to be on, for sure. Gosh, about me. You know, I used to be a professor. I have a PhD in political science. This seems like a former life already in this life. But, you know, it was about in the late 70s, I figured, God, you know, there's got to be more than academia and politics. So I went to India, and that changed my life, got on a spiritual path. And eventually that led me to the tarot, living in San Francisco at the time, and eventually made the Voyager Tarot deck. And I just kept going. I never looked back. You know, people thought I was nuts for getting into the cards from being a professor. And yes, I said, yes, I am the fool. Thank you very much. I've been blessed.
Yeah.
It is a fool's journey. It's not the smartest kind of practical field, actually, to go into. You're familiar with that, probably. But when you love something, the idea is do what you love and love what you do, and you can keep going and keep on keeping on, you know. And so I'm blessed, but I made a very smart decision way back to follow my bliss, and it's worked out.
Amazing, amazing. And I love how, you know, when I see your stuff on Facebook, you're all over. You just got back from Japan. There's a bunch of places in Asia, it seems, where you end up. You know, what's it like to go and work with tarot in these different cultures, or is that even relevant?
It's relevant. I mean, I can't say that my classes, per se, are that much different than in America or even Europe. I go to Holland tomorrow. But it's the age group. Honestly, Andrew, they are all probably under 40 or under 35, or at least they look like that, a lot of them. But so there's a great – it's young. And young for me is invigorating, and they're clever and they're quick and they're creative and they're smart as heck. I don't find that their relationship to the tarot per se is much different than ours, actually. I don't, you know, because, I mean, if I work in Japan, and I've been a kind of a quasi-Buddhist, and I've done my Zen stuff, and they don't really care about that. You know, and then if I'm in China, they don't really care about the I Ching. Like, what's that? Hmm. And so a lot of their ancient spirituality is not all that relevant, but they have a fascination with Western mysticism. And that's right. The way we look to the East. I mean, this is a good one to remember, and I've found it very true in my life. A prophet is without honor in their own land. Mm. oftentimes that is the case. So I think that's one of the reasons, in a way, I'm really popular in Asia. I'm a different kind of white guy, if you will, who has some mystical tools at hand. And so it seems to work.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I spent some time in India myself back in about 2000. Uh-huh. And, you know, aside from being in like Rishikesh and, you know, like some other places that were obviously spiritual centers, for the most part, nobody cared at all, right? There were no yoga classes on every corner. There were not, you know, I mean, maybe there were some sadhus on the street begging and whatever. But, you know, it was really, as you say, you ask people about it and they're like, well, that's what crazy people do. You know, that's what these madmen who go and live in the wilds do.
No doubt. And so we've been through the India. I think everybody should go there as part of a degree in life on earth and culture, because India's wild, you know. I mean, it was enlightening for me. It's also where I almost died with hepatitis. So, you know, but yeah, you're right. I mean, right. Just an education in India, if you will. It's just like I spent 6 years at Columbia University, like an education in New York City. A different way of seeing how the pace of life and how they mingle and mix and match and work life. And that's why China is even interesting for me. I mean, we here in Canada and the U.S., I mean, we've got space. I mean, even you're in Toronto, I'm in L.A., but come on, this is not India. This is not Manhattan.
No, exactly.
And so it's those are big league kind of towns. And I just think everybody to get perspective on who they are. And even the tarot is about getting perspective about who we are. And you're not just Andrew and I'm not just James. We are magicians and priestesses and lovers and hermits. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. So it's all about getting perspective. And I think the tarot is an incredible voyage into the inner worlds and universe that we are, just as traveling in the outside is kind of the same. You know, I think they mirror each other. And I am a voyager. I'm a voyager tarot, but I'm also a voyager in the real physical world. And to me, they really mix together. I mean, if you look at Voyager tarot, you're going to find everything but the proverbial kitchen sink in there. You know, it's busy tarot. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I wanted to say to the world that our inner universe, our inner worlds and sub-personalities are mirrors of the outside world and all of its craziness and complexity and chaos and all that kind of stuff. So it is all one thing. You know, the micro and the macro are really one of the same. And that's kind of the message I'm trying to get across in the tarot. Matter of fact, I do some classes where I say, put away the cards, look around the room, because the room right now that we're sitting in is the tarot deck of your right now. So I have people pick one image or a person's face or a clock or whatever's in the room, and that's their symbol, their tarot for that moment. And that's what the tarot is really great, because it organizes, however, all of our spontaneous intuitiveness. And the great thing about the tarot is it puts us into a holistic framework of looking at our lives, mind, heart, body, and spirit. Whereas if you're just looking at the universe and taking an image from anywhere and getting meaning, which is very cool, it's way outside the box, but it's kind of random. Mm-hmm. And organizes intuition. And it's a way of really viewing ourselves through a lens that, if it's holistic, that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Without context and boundaries, how do we know what to interpret and when, right? You know, is the bus being late a message from the universe, or is it just, you know, the standard transit jam up that happens half of the time around here, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, I find the more aware we are of synchronicities, and particularly when we do the cards, we're assuming intentional synchronicity is at work here, meaning the card we're going to get is the right card for that time in our lives. But once you start appreciating that aspect of life, everything that's happening, we're doing, is synchronous with something that's going on out there in the world. I mean, I sat in front of an Easter Island statuary at some busy Japanese train station a few days ago, And I it was like this, and I thought, well, this is a volcanic island. So I just said, well, I'll pick a card here. Actually, it's a video. And I picked the breakthrough card from Voyager. It's got a volcano in it. And I thought, Easter Island's a volcanic island, I think. So I just went off. I did an expressive tarot, I call it. I became a volcano. Now, the Japanese cat sitting next to me who was texting could care less, which is interesting. But I was volcanic. Well, that was all fine, well, and good. But then 3 days later, there's a volcano that goes off in Japan that has been benign for centuries. All of a sudden has killed all sorts of tourists who are just climbing this kind of really nice little old volcanic mountain. So somehow there's, again, that synchronistic connection. That time's pretty unconscious, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I have an exercise that I like to do where from where my store is to where the subway station is that I go to, I could take a bus and be there in like 2 minutes, but there's a nice walk which takes about 25 minutes through the ravine that's for being in Toronto is quite wild. And what I like to do is as I stroll through this ravine, I set the intention that everything that I see is going to be synchronous in some way or other. And I allow each thing that surfaces to essentially pose a question to me that when I arrive at the end of my walk, I sit down on the park bench, having made my notes or whatever I do to kind of keep track of it. And then I go through and answer all the questions with the cards as a way of kind of keeping myself on track and unearthing that those synchronicities and those unconscious things and all that stuff that is all of that world that, as you said earlier, is reflected in the microcosm of me. And it's always relevant and interesting. And, it's not like, oh, well, maybe I should have a Big Mac for dinner. It's, it's deep stuff that comes up, and it's very fascinating.
Well, I mean, you're doing it. I mean, Andrew, that's what I would call the living tarot. You're not just a person who sits down, spreads out the cards, and does a little formal thing, which is very nice. You're living it out in the world and seeing these matter of fact, while you were just saying that about your ravine in Toronto, which I have a hard time believing, but that's very cool. I just picked a card for you from Voyager. You're talking about this, and I picked from Voyager, the Sage of Crystals, called the Knower. Mm-hmm. It's an Einstein card, and the Sage, which is a mentor, an elder, a wise person, and apparently you have a lot of wisdom that you're sharing with the world through your podcast, so this is a perfect card for you. Well done.
Thanks. I try.
You're doing more than trying. I think you're doing, and you're on, and that's what we need. I think a lot of times people are just too removed from their practice or their spiritual art from the real world. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. I mean, we are living tarot cards here. I mean, I'd like to see myself as a sage who knows something, pick this card. So it's not about just, well, there's a piece of paper. I always say tarot cards, it's just a piece of paper. It's how you lived the information on the paper that makes all the difference in life. So you're living it.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of the things that inspired me to reach out and connect with you for being on this podcast is the level of passion and engagement that I get from what you're doing, which I think is really important. There was a post you put up a while ago, and I don't even remember. Maybe you don't even remember it. You were talking about the sustainable man and your sort of renewal and the green man and all this stuff. And you were talking about how at one point you were, I'm trying to remember the word you used, was it corpulent or something like that? Like you're discussing this sort of transformation that had happened through your awakening and your reemergence into the world and into a sort of more focused way of engaging and so on. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, Green Man, as much as Voyager is the kind of mythic, heroic archetype that I work with, Voyager being the explorer of all the universes within and without the world, the Green Man, which is, I have another deck called Sustain Yourself Cards, which is all green wisdom about renewability and sustainability and all of that, and the Green Man is the mythic archetype for that. And I actually have a book called Conversations with Green Man as my mythic mentor. As an ebook. I mean, I take it seriously. And this character, Green Man, has me go out in nature and video it and do all this stuff. This ebook has about 10 different videos of me finding my path in the world and in nature and all of that. But, you know, it's really brought this engagement with the mythic has really brought me back to being wildly alive that way. Hey, I'm 71 and I am more on now. More creative now, and I think smarter, even though my memory sucks, than I ever was. And I begin to wonder, like, what the heck was I doing between 40 and 60 with my life? 40 and 65, by the way. You know, I think I was doing something, but not at this level or this energetic level.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that it's interesting the notion that we acquire wisdom as we age. And that wisdom is not necessarily what we thought it would be, you know? The wisdom that I hear and what you say is the sort of ability to be on and this wisdom of focus and following the passion and excitement and exuberance. And you know, that's a wisdom that's not, I mean, you're role modeling it in a lovely way, but it's not sort of a conventional perspective of wisdom.
Yeah. You got that right. I mean, I you know what I mean? I'm a Facebooker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I put like you do know, I put up a ton of stuff and I think it's entertaining and creative and energetic. Cause for me, the way I teach is me. In other words, I am the teacher. The messenger is the teacher.
Mm.
The medium is the message.
Yeah.
And people just, you know, dichotomize, you know, between the person and the tool or something like that. I don't. I think you are it. You are the business. You are the message. And so when people say, well, you're such a narcissist and blah, 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 I said, dude, I'm just trying to say this is a lifestyle that I have found. And I have a book called The Sustainable Life or Sustainable Lifestyle Living, which is my spiritual path. So kind of what I'm trying to show is my life is the madness, of course, but it's the method, but it's really the mastery of life, of growing young and not getting old. To me, I just can't stand that. I am an exuberant animal, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
What's called exuberant animal. When you said exuberance there, I just had to write that down. I love the title of that, exuberant animal.
Well, you know, it's when it comes to like reading or, you know, like sitting down, because I mean, I see clients and stuff like that, you know, that is my business. I mean, on top of running the store, but you know, I always think that really what people are paying for is access to me and the cards and whether we talk astrology or spirit guides or, you know, any number of things that we could get into. All of those things are really secondary. They are the context, but they are not the work. And the work is really the energy of spending time with me or with you or with somebody else who can engage and transfer things and demonstrate things and open people up at ways at which start to move beyond what can be consciously or rationally explained.
Yeah. You got that right. What beyond what can be rationally explained, but I do like what you're saying a lot about. You use that one of the great E words of all time in terms of communication, which is engage. Engage people with energy. Mm-hmm. You know, to be a living example. I love the E words. You know, so it's a transfer of energy. A real transfer of energy, and with a little bit of your inventiveness, I just created the inventor. Just pick the inventor card for you, by the way, the Man of Crystals. I don't have royalty cards in Voyager. I said, off with their heads. You know, this is the 21st century, by the way. But when you engage and you have energy and you empathize and then you educate and then you finally enroll, these are all the E's of effective communication, you are doing the job. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing, though, Andrew, how do you feel about, okay, you do your job and you do it good, let's mm-hmm. say. And I think you do. I think I do. But so what? In a way, so, I mean, it's my favorite. Like, so what? Like, the client leaves and then what? Maybe you never even hear from them again. You don't even know what happens. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a a hole there for me. And that's why I kind of created the Voyager coaching process, where you kind of see somebody a few times with, it's proactive, Turo, where they have to take some action. Each reading is an action plan, not just, you know, hey, this is what could happen kind of a thing. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to help people in whatever ways they deem fit. So certainly I don't feel bad when people come and go and I don't see them again. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I do where I'm really, in the same way that you are, looking to engage and take people through a process and watch them grow and evolve. You know, I just started this thing where I'm doing a six-month journey for people where they are going through and creating their own set of major arcana. So basically one a week. And, you know, so we meet every other week to talk about their process and, you know, there's a group and whatever. And so I really thrive on that level of engagement and sort of being the coach or the guide or to go along the journey with people, you know, because for me, that's where it's really exciting. That's where when I can see the change happen, you know, when I can see them recognize the change they see in their lives, that's where I feel successful and fired up for sure.
Totally agree with that. When I love that what you say, when you can see the change happen, mm-hmm. Now, that is true. That's God in a way. I mean,
sure,
that's real fulfillment.
Yeah,
and that's why I love teaching more than anything, giving people the tools to you know, create their own future and their own lives. But let me add, I love that process. How do they make their cards? Do they actually artistically create the major cards?
Yeah, they are. Somebody is painting them, with watercolors and stuff. Many people are doing a photo collage of some sort or another, mostly digital. You know, I mean, the software, it's free. It's relatively easy. There's so many places online for free imagery now, you know, where people are posting stuff and sharing things and you can snag it without stealing it from them and include it in what you're doing. It's wonderful. You know, it's really, I think it's empowering this time that we live in.
Oh, and people love it. I mean, art is a great, great intuitive process. And people go away with something, an accomplishment, something physical.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But, you know, and I've taught a bunch of those kind of courses as well. And it's so enriching. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody should be required to make their own major arcana.
I think so.
Come to terms with the archetypes of sub-personalities within themselves as an incredible psychology. I'm actually doing a featured speaker in Portland, Oregon in March. Mm-hmm. There's a tarot symposium there, first one in the Northwest. And it's all for me. It's all Voyager psychology, tarot psychology.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets it out of the old occult kind of closet, if you will.
Yeah, I think the occult stuff is fascinating. I mean, I sort of grew up on tarot through Crowley and through the Thoth deck and through, you know, like being involved in his initiatory groups. And, you know, so I come from a really esoteric background. But at the same time, you know, when I read for people, it's I was trying to explain to everybody because I'm writing a beginner's book for working with the Thoth deck right now. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, they're trying to understand why, like, what it was that I was going to get at. And I was like, you know what? This sums it up. So I spent 20 years studying Kabbalah and blah, 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 all that stuff. And right. And it's great. And it was fascinating for me. And nobody cares. And right. I also spent 20 years reading for people who didn't want to hear it and didn't understand it. All they wanted to know was, right. Was their relationship going to work? Were they going to get the job? Were they whatever? And I spent all this time translating what I was seeing from this occult perspective into this daily perspective. And it's all there on all those levels. But why should people have to work that hard for it? What do they really get out of, you know, spending that much time, especially if they feel obliged as opposed to excited about it? You know, I don't think they get much out of it.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I've written a Voyager book. Oh, by the way, you know, Voyager Tarot came out of the Thoth deck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very much structured. I mean, instead of the Temperance card, for example, it's called Art in Voyager. Stuff like that. But, I just think, well, God, what were we talking about there? The occult. I have a book called The Way of the Great Oracle, which I wrote. This is kind of the Voyager Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, every card in Voyager has an astrological, an aura, an I Ching, a rune, you know, a palmistry kind of meaning to each card. So what? How does that help a person talk to their partner or get a job?
Exactly, exactly. You know, honey, I think your NetSack is out of balance, you know? It's like, how does that go over?
Yeah, really. I mean, I never, ever refer to any of that stuff. It's too academic. And frankly, I got to tell you, there's a lot of tarot people who are way over the top for me academically. Mm. It's all mental, mental, mental. Well, this card should be that, and that card should be this. And rah, 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 rah. I mean, that just bores the hell out of me, frankly. I don't care. It's about how can this card and these symbols help me today with my life? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care where it came from. How does it work? I don't want to get involved. I mean, I went through so many years of graduate school. Trust me, I don't want to get more mental. You know?
That's right. You got to undo that still, right?
Well, that's where all my hair went.
Yeah.
No, I mean, golly. I mean, enough of this mental stuff. Let's take it into real world living. And that's, God, that's just the most exciting thing and the most difficult thing. Because, again, people don't like to make change. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for people to make changes. And tarot, if you're on them, like you are with this process, this six-month process of yours, you can affect change. And yeah, that, you know, back to that thing, that is where it's at. And that's the tarot as a spiritual path, as a yoga, mm-hmm, you know, of change, yeah, and manifestation, rather than some kind of entertaining kind of, get, you know, hocus pocus thing, if you will. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Because the stuff that's, you know, I mean, predictive reading is fun. And, you know, I mean, there's lots of stuff that's entertaining. But, you know, more and more, I the longer I go on, the less I'm interested in. There are certain aha moments that are good for people. But that's a whole trap in and of itself, too, you know?
Well, yeah. And actually, I mean, since we're talking the world of tarot here, I mean, I've been doing this for over 30 years. I mean, Voyager is 30 years old, and I was reading for 5 years before that. So I've been around this world, tarot, and it's rough. I mean, that's why I'm not even calling Voyager tarot anymore. It's the Voyager Navigator. Mm-hmm. It's navigating life with your deck as a coach, as your psychologist, as your friend, as your ally, as your advisor, as your trainer, mm-hmm, you know. And without having to use the T word, which I love and I hate,
yeah,
that T word, because you tell a lot of people I do the tarot and they're going to look at you, either you're the devil, you know, you're whacked, or let me have a reading.
Exactly, exactly.
Neutral territory there.
Well, and you also get, as soon as someone says tarot, then they're going to have a deck in mind too, and they're going to have a system in mind if they know anything, you know.
Absolutely.
Like for me, over time, I've moved to working with the Tarot de Marseille so much, most of the time now, and you know, it's I see these things, people get into these conversations about this deck and that deck and whatever, and I'm like, no, it doesn't really matter. Like nobody, there's no authentic tarot. There's no, like, that's the, to me, that's the lie behind the occultism, right? That there is a true anything behind it. It's all mystery, and sure, it's all interaction with mystery. And some of it is more effective for some people in some situations than others, but nobody knows what's really going on.
Yeah, there's no tarot Bible, you know, but some people seem to think there is, and there's an orthodoxy, and there's only one deck that exists, and that's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I've really tried to bring the tarot out of the medieval. I mean, I don't even have swords anymore. I have crystals,
mm-hmm,
stuff like that. I mean, again, no kings and queens. I have the human family and all of that. But for some people, that's heresy.
Yeah,
the tarot world. And I'm very, very disappointing about the field of tarot in general, actually.
Was there a time where you struggled with being a heretic?
No.
No, it's always been a comfortable place for you.
Yeah, maybe I have authority issues, Andrew.
Right.
I mean, one of my best friends in Holland, he invited me over there to work there in Holland 10, 12 years ago. I don't know. He said, you know, James, you are an anarchist. And I thought, God, you know, I just thought I was a mainstream American kind of dude. You know, I play football. I follow sports even, mm-hmm. you know, and anarchists. And, but, you know, I guess you're right. Actually, isn't that a funny little story? I was on a plane ride a couple of years ago, and the person sitting next to me, I was playing with my cards. I was trying to write something probably. And she kept looking at the cards. She kept asking me, well, who are you? What do you do? And blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't really particularly wanting to talk. But finally I told her, I'm a tarotist. Hmm. Now, on a plane, that didn't go over too well. But tarot can be terror. I mean, it can totally, like the tower card, you know, it can totally debunk your whole belief system, basically, you know, pretty rapidly. Particularly, have you ever had readings with skeptics, guys, you know, really left-brainers? Mm-hmm. And I don't believe any of this crap. And, rah, 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 and then you have them pick a card. And it's like, yeah. Very interesting to see. So we are, and again, in a way, we all are terrorists and anarchists because we are calling into question a lot of the assumptions upon which people believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently where they're interviewing this old punk rocker guy, you know, and for me, that was my big thing when I was a teenager was that aesthetic and that sort of sense of radicalism. And, you know, I never would have put it like this back in the day, but now I really resonated with it. He says, you know, the thing about being a punk rocker is, you don't expect anybody and you won't accept anybody giving you permission to do stuff. You won't wait for it. You just get up and go and do it, you know? And I'm like, I really like that idea, you know, like why wait for, you know, anybody to give you permission or to, you know, sort of come down and say, oh, well now James, you can do this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, just go do it. You know, the world needs a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, that is definitely for sure true. And people, most of us play it too safe, you know, and it's kind of the herd mentality, the group think, which mm-hmm. is really a scary thing, even though it's pretty unconscious and it's not basically too bad. But it's not, you know, Joseph Campbell, the great mythologist.
Sure.
The one I remember from Joe was he said, the day I woke up was the day I realized I was living somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth. And I mean, that's the problem with the tarot. I mean, the great thing about it is a great story. I mean, you take the major arcana, you go from fool to fortune and beyond to the world and to the universe and back again. It's the journey of life. It's the story of life and the story of creation, but it's how you live it. You mm-hmm. know, the archetypes are general enough that they give us permission to be the magician in our own unique way. But I mean, I ask people a lot of times in consultation, so what's your magic? How are you a magician? People go like, well, I don't, you know, I don't know.
Exactly.
But it's, you know, but we're not undermining people. We're just trying to bring out the innate potential and talent that's within them because we are rich by nature, particularly with all these archetypal, you know, resources within us. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get the same response when I ask people, so what's your creativity? And they're like, right. Oh, I don't know, nothing really. I mean, other than like playing the cello and singing and writing. And like they'll list off 20 things and in the next breath, they'll completely undermine that they do anything creative. And it's just like, wow, there's some disconnect going on here. I need to reconnect that.
Majorly. And if you can just spark somebody to tap into their creativity and not judge it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are so mental in our judgments. I mean, in the old tarot, the traditional tarot, there's the card judgment, right?
Yeah.
I think in the Crowley deck, it's called adjustment.
Yeah.
And in Voyager, I call it balance. Judgment, we are all judgmental. There's no doubt about it, but it's the critical inner critic that kills us. And actually, I kind of like all the negative mental cards, the swords, the crystals, because they wake us up. It's like, oh my God, I am negative. Oh my God, I am delusional. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And I go to town on the negative cards. I think, okay, here's a wake up opportunity to get out of your negative, small minded ways of thinking. And it's a wake up call. And I just think it's a great learning, teaching opportunity. I'm in favor of these so-called, I don't dwell on them. I use them as opportunity cards. They're totally positive there. But some people are so afraid of the tarot because, I don't want to get the death card. I don't like any of this. Well, yeah, I mean, we have a choice, right? Mm-hmm. But we all have that negative stuff within us. But it's time to recognize it and say hi, goodbye as quickly as possible. Hi, goodbye. You are dismissed. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting thing too. Having journeyed through Crowley's OTO, well, you know, at least in his lifetime, that organization, you know, up to a certain point, you know, the first series of degrees reenact life, right? Conception, birth, life, death, mm-hmm. what comes after, right? And you know, it's like in masonry and these other things, and that having gone through. The ceremony of metaphorically and spiritually being killed and reborn, and also having spent, because there's sort of, you know, you spend about a year at each degree if you're sort of working on stuff. And so spending a year contemplating death and spending time leading up to that, you know, contemplating that spiritually I was going to enter my death degree, you know, it changes the way you look at things when you're not afraid of it. You know, I'm like, oh, it's just another point on the wheel, and the wheel's going to keep turning. And I've been at this point before, and probably I'll be here again, and around it goes, as opposed to this like cataclysmic notion that people have of these transitions in their lives. You know, I mean, sometimes they're really hard and sometimes they're really painful, of course.
Well, and I think that's one of the brilliant things about the tarot, actually, is that it is a wheel, you know, mm-hmm. It's not a linear line. And I think most Western minds think in terms of a linear line. And that's just erroneous. There are no straight lines in the universe. You know, we always circle back.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, I do a thing, Andrew, called, you know, a year card every year on your birthday, which is New Year's Day, yep. Basically, for everyone. I use a 22-year cycle through the major archetypes. So when you're first born, you're the zero fool, basically. At age one, you're the magician. So at age 22, you're back to the fool. And at 44, you're back to the fool. And 66 and 88, cycles of 22 years. It is brilliant. I love that. Like now I'm not in the fourth cycle of 22 years. Something like that. But, you know, so I'll go through the magician or priestess or whatever again several times. But are they different each time? But the point is it takes us back in order to go ahead. And I love that about the tarot as a circular wheel of life. In order to go ahead, you have to kind of go back. And, you know, wherever you go, your history and herstory is going to be with you here. And the magician's always going to be with you. The priest is always going to be with you. Mm-hmm. It's how do you potentiate them? How do you manifest them into your life now in the third or fourth cycle around the wheel?
Sure. And you can always manifest any of them. It's a question of which one is most appropriate, and maybe also which ones are you unconsciously manifesting, and is that working for you?
Well, there's a lot of unconsciousness, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. No, you know what's really helped me with the tarot is getting it out of just a piece of paper and a mental concept is actually, Carl Jung's kind of active imagination technique, which is totally simple.
Yep.
It's play. And so if you don't know what to do and you need some wisdom, imagine a wise woman priestess, the number two archetype, and whenever, whatever way you want, wherever the heck she is in life, but talk to her, visualize her and talk to her. And I tell you, you get more wisdom out of that. And I just do that with every archetype. So if I need a little business savvy, I'll go to my inner emperor, for example. Or if I need what should I do about this relationship, or how should I communicate, basically, I'll go to the lover's advisor, which is kind of inner level or not. I don't even know where these archetypes live. I don't really care, but it works.
Yeah.
You know? But it takes it out of a piece of paper thing that the tarot cards are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a great book called What We May Be by a guy named Piero Ferrucci. And, you know, he's a psychosynthesis guy. So, you know, that approach is very similar to this, minus the cards, but you can easily apply it to the cards where, you know, you pick whatever part of you is causing a problem and give it build it up into a personality and be like, all right, So, you know, my couch potato, what are you going to do? How can I lure you off the couch? What agreements can we make? And, you know, whether it's our tarot characters or these things, it's such a fruitful technique for gaining information, especially because rarely, at least in my experience, it's rarely painful in the way that like sitting down and trying to like grind at it and talk through it and figure it out. There's always like a gestalt that comes with it that is so much faster and easier than other techniques.
Totally. And sometimes we have so many inner conflicts. Should I do this or what about that? And da, 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 da. What I do is I'll identify the protagonist. Like, let's say I don't know what to do about this relationship. I'll call on my lover and my inner hermit, you know, and have them do a conversation. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll actually converse. Actually, my Green Man book, Green Man had me do this. He said, why are you so ambiguous about your love life? He says, I want you to have this conversation between your inner lover and your inner hermit. Mm-hmm. And even bring it out with different voices and all of that. But it's such a rich psychology. And the problem with the tarot is most people are just into the paper mental concept of it. When these are actually living constellations, I mean, living entities or whatever you want to call them within us. Mm-hmm. And that just makes it alive.
Yeah, exactly. They're gateways to other things. They are still just ink on paper. You know, I mean, you know, people always, I love the question, how do you keep your cards and what do you do with your cards? And, you know, honestly, most collectors and even other tarot readers are a little horrified because the answer is mostly in piles on my desk, occasionally with rubber bands around them. But they are still sacred and they allow us to access that sacred, you know? And if, you know, like my Thoth deck, I have my first version of the Thoth deck, and I've read for thousands of people now probably, and it's getting worn and whatever, and it's lovely and I really like it. But you know, if someone were to dump coffee on it, I would just walk out into the store and open another pack and off I would go. Cause we can't get too hung up on these things because good we need you. To keep moving, you know?
I love it. I mean, I've broken every rule in the tarot Bible or rule book or whatever. It's only brought me good stuff because I don't buy into the belief system, you know, about it. I mean, you know, when I mean, I do a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, I have a little deck called Baby Voyager, mm-hmm. a mini deck. I'll send you one, Andrew. So send me your snail mail address.
I will.
But I mean, I put them in food. I mean, in Japan, they take pictures of food. And I don't know what that's all about. And they put it on Facebook. Well, if I get some interesting piece of food in Asia, I stick a little Baby Voyager right in the middle of that food.
I've seen the pictures.
You see them?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. You know, I mean, and then of course the cards are more tasty. I like bringing the world into the tarot, you know.
Well, and they're stickier too, so they don't slide around on the table so much afterwards.
There you go. And you can always get a rubber band and get another deck. And oh god, absolutely. But some people are like, oh my god, you can't anybody touch that. Oh no, you can't do that. And I just say, oh okay, fine. You know, do mm-hmm. it your way. I'll do it my way. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Good tarot conversation, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, totally fun.
Yes. my mantra, it's a YouTube thing. I did. It's a 38-second YouTube video shot by one of my Japanese clients. It was called my success mantra, and it's have fun, which mm-hmm. is do good, make money. You know, and the only reason I bring it up is because you said something about fun. And, you know, people are just too damn serious.
Yeah.
Have fun and do good, and you will be productive and it will be profitable. So let's get on with it now.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Well, you know, and for me, I've had the pleasure of getting to spend time with elders of many traditions over my voyaging, or, you know, over my searching. And they all love life. You know, they all engaged in life, you know, and, you know, one of my elder in my Lukumi practice is, you know, he's like, you gotta just like, death's coming for us all. Let's just suck the marrow out of it. Enjoy every sweet exchange. Like, let's just push and live such a fun and excited life. Let's engage with everything we can, you know, and maybe we can push that clock an extra minute, or maybe we can just show it that we had a good life. But either way, like, just keep going. You know,
I love it. Keep on, keep going, keep on, keep on.
Yeah.
You know, again, another Campbell, Joseph Campbell statement. He says, you know, people think they're really after meaning in life, finding meaning, which is fine. I mean, I agree. I like meaning. You know, I like to think I'm doing something meaningful, satisfying my brain. Mm-hmm. He said, really, what it's all about is aliveness.
Yeah.
Aliveness. Like you're saying, you know, come on, wake up, get alive and go for it and do it and don't look back and don't be afraid to be the fool.
Yeah.
I mean, me, the fool of the tarot is by far the most important archetype because it's that willingness in us, like the child, to say, who cares? I trust. I'm going to jump. I'm a free spirit. And but it takes a lot of bravery and courage to be known and seen as silly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that. I mean, I've worked in Germany where I was put down for being way too lighthearted, having way too much fun, you know. And I just think, come on, man, I'd rather be alive and having fun and living till 101 than, you know, dying cynically in a jaded kind of way at 62. That's for sure.
And there's no contradiction in that, at least for me, you know. There's no contradiction between laughing and being engaged and being open-hearted and being compassionate and being profound and helping people. There's no contradiction between that and being in our joy.
No, I agree. I mean, I put the words witty and wise together. I mean, people who are funny are usually pretty wise unless they've got like a Robin Williams depression thing or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But people who can laugh, those are the people who last, by the way, in life. But usually they have a perspective about life, you know, a certain detachment and understanding that is truly, like you say, joyous and living in the joy, living in those cups cards. I don't like in readings to see a lot of crystals or swords, mental cards come up. I mean, because we're mental enough, particularly. Yeah. You know, I love cups cards. You know, we kind of don't trust them because, oh, my God, now what am I going to do with these feelings? But the heart has its reasons that reason doesn't know anything about. But, you know, and that's the fuel for the road. It's to me, life is all about motivation, being moved by emotion, which keeps us in motion. So I totally adore the cups cards. I think they are the fuel for the journey. I don't think they're particularly easy. You have to trust them. You might get in quote unquote trouble with it or, you know, do stupid stuff, but who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
And at least you're alive with energy, and energy is the bottom line. So when you have that kind of emotional aliveness with energy, anything is possible. And by the way, we get through setbacks and mistakes a lot quicker. I don't really trust people who don't make mistakes in modern day life. If you're not mistaken, you're not living. I mean, it kind of sounds like a Bob Dylan song.
Quick, cue the harmonica.
Yeah, there you go. Cue the harmonica. Oh, brother. Yes.
Wow. Well, I think that is the time that we have for today. But I want to thank you for being on here. It's been delightful to get to chat with you. And, you know, for people who are listening to this, who'd like to come out and be engaged and witness some of your shenanigans, where should they go to find you online?
Well, I think probably easiest is Facebook, just James Wanless, WANLESS. And I have a bunch of Voyager Tarot pages, Voyager Tarot Taiwan, Voyager Tarot Netherlands, and all sorts of places like that. So Voyager Tarot as well. Either, and my website is jamesmwanless.com. But yeah, I'm pretty accessible. I'm Googleable.
Googleable. Excellent. Well, and I will put links in the show notes as well.
Thank you, Andrew. This has been a great conversation. I think we're on the same page. I know we are.
Indeed. Well, thank you for making the time.
You got it, man.
So I want to thank you for listening. If you have missed any of these podcasts, they are all available at thehermitslamp.com/podcasts. And you know, while you're there, please check out what else is going on. Perhaps download my free book or sign up for my newsletter where I do all sorts of wonderful practical tips on developing your reading practice and understanding yourself better. And all of that can be accessed from thehermitslamp.com. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful day.